Now shall we turn, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, again, same chapter as we looked at yesterday, the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll read some verses again in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we'll read at verse 22. Luke 12 and 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now that is anxious thought. He's speaking about anxiety. Take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls, the birds? And which of you, with taking anxious thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye that which shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, the Lord in that section has been speaking about worry. Notice verse 35, he speaks about work. Let your loins be girded about. And then he speaks about witness and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait. So he's speaking about waiting. Men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find. And here we have it again, watching. So he's speaking about watching also, and we look to the Lord to bless his word. But what we are focusing on is the fact that sometimes the people of God worry. And we're thinking about anxiety as the Lord Jesus presented it in these verses. Therefore I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life. Now, I know that by and large, we live in a prosperous environment. In the Western world, we've got to acknowledge that by and large, we're fairly well off. But having said that, it is important to understand that some of the saints of God do have anxieties about the material things of life. Some things are essential, some are luxuries. The Lord here is speaking about the essentials. He's speaking about food. He's speaking about clothing. And sometimes the saints of God are anxious about these things. Maybe a man on a limited income and his family is growing and he's anxious. Maybe the spectre of unemployment is hanging around and there's anxiety one way or another. Well, we want to come to this, and while some of you might think, well, that doesn't apply to us, you know, the most of us are left out of this ministry this afternoon. If you don't want to apply the anxiety of food and clothing to your personal circumstance, I'm sure that there are other worries that afflict your life. And so let's see principles, at least, as we move through this passage of Scripture. So the Lord says, take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying this. God has taken care of the big issues of life, the spiritual aspect of life. And isn't that good? Here we are today, well blessed, on the way to heaven, cleansed by precious blood, our feet set on the pathway to the many mansions. There's more to life than food and raiment. And bless God, we are the people who have been endowed with every spiritual blessing. My dear friend in Christ, if God has taken care of the big thing, do you think he's going to be negligent about the lesser thing? If he has taken care of the spiritual dimension to life, do you think he's going to be careless about your material and physical needs? And the Lord Jesus is teaching that very important lesson. And then he says, consider the ravens. And I want to pause at that for a moment. He's going to be speaking here about appetite. And he uses the illustration of ravens. Earlier in the passage, he'd spoken about sparrows. Sparrows. Now, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus didn't speak about sparrows when he was speaking about our need for food. You know, I was watching some of you through there in the refectory. You know, and every time your elbow bent, your mouth opened, you know, and you were able to stack it away, you know, you've got a big appetite. And so isn't it good to know that when the Lord was speaking about appetite, he didn't speak about a sparrow. A sparrow has got an appetite that's very, very minimal. Now, when he's thinking of the worth of the believer, he speaks about sparrows. In Matthew's gospel, two sparrows sold for a farthing. In Luke's gospel, buy four, get one free. Five sparrows sold for two farthings. They're so insignificant that you could throw one in for nothing. And yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from the permissive will of God. Do you think, my dear friend, that God's going to care for sparrows in that way and be negligent with you? And so when he's thinking about God's care for us, he thinks about sparrows. But appetite, it's not a sparrow. It's a raven. A raven's a big bird. You know, where we live, we don't have many ravens. We've crows and we've got things like... But no, a raven's a big bird. Large wingspan, big appetite. And incidentally, it's the first bird that's mentioned in the Bible. You'll remember that Noah let a raven out of the ark. Oh, I know you read about God creating the fowls of the air, but the first one that's mentioned by name is the raven. So God has long experience in feeding ravens. Do you think he's going to neglect you? When you come to the book of Leviticus, you'll discover that ravens are among the unclean birds. They're dirty, big things. They've got nothing going for them, have they? They've got no beautiful plumage like some of the birds. They don't have a lovely yellow beak like a blackbird. No, they're ugly and they're unclean. And even although they've got nothing going for them, God feeds them. God feeds them. And you'll discover that he feeds them so well that in Elijah's day, even in days of famine, they had enough left over to bring to Elijah bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now come, do you think he's going to let you go hungry when he's able to feed ravens like that? And so, as far as our appetite is concerned and our need for nourishment, the illustration that the Lord uses is that of the raven. And he says, consider the ravens. Now, as far as these ravens are concerned, they neither sow or reap. They don't get frantic with worry, trying to gather up what they're going to eat. They're not like the parable that we were thinking about yesterday. The man who sowed and then he had the bumper harvest and all the effort that went into... No, ravens don't go about in a frenzy. Could I just say to maybe my younger friends who feel that your circumstances are just a little bit straitened and you're maybe tempted just to take on that extra job, and Stanley was speaking about it yesterday, the job that could keep you back from getting to the meetings. And you're so anxious that you neglect the spiritual side of life. Just want to say this to you, my friends. Going to meetings is a huge part of Christian living. Now, I know that living as a Christian is a 24/7 thing. And please don't be saying, you know, well, there's more more to Christian living than going to meetings. I know that's true, but I'm always suspicious when that is said, lest the impression is being left going to the meetings is inconsequential. I want to tell you, my friend, you are under mandate to attend the meetings. It's a command from the Word of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We were hearing yesterday that early disciples continued steadfastly in, among other things, the prayers. They were there at the prayer meeting. And it is rather sad that there are many believers who would never dream of absenting themselves from the breaking of bread, but they think nothing of missing the prayer meeting. And sometimes it's because of this frenzy that they get into, because they need just that little bit of extra money, and they've got to do the extra job, and they've got to be involved. Oh, my dear friend in Christ, I beg of you earnestly, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and yet your Father feeds them. And they don't gather into barns. I spoke about this briefly yesterday. The obsession that we have with accumulating things. And we want to feel comfortable, and we want to have it all stashed away so that really we're cushioned against any emergency that could arise in life. Ravens don't have storehouses and barns, and yet God feeds them. Are there people here who are willing to depend on God like that? Or are you going to continue to be anxious about these things? So he speaks about the ravens. And then he shows in verse 25 that anxiety is absolutely futile. Which of you, with taking anxious thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Here's a man who gets saved in Luke 19. His name's Zacchaeus. I don't know what height he was. Maybe even smaller than me, and that's saying something. But now that he's saved, he starts to read his Bible, and he reads in the book of Genesis about these giants. But then he realizes that they were swept away in the flood, and maybe he thought that's all just, you know, it's an antediluvian thing. But then as he reads on, he discovers about the Anakim, and they were big fellows. And he reads about King Saul, head and shoulders above the rest. And he reads about Goliath. And Zacchaeus begins to think, I'm just a little squirt, a tetchy fella. I would love to be a big fella like these boys. You know, and he begins to get all anxious about the thing. I can sympathize with him. You know, most of the places I go, the lectern is purpose-built for big preachers. And sometimes I feel I'm just like a cow looking over the hedge. You know? And supposing I said, now, I really wish I was a big preacher. And I get all anxious about it. Now, am I, by anxious thought, going to be able to add one cubit to my stature? Oh, you say, no. Anxiety is futile. Isn't it? Now, please, I understand, none of us are heroes. And we do get worried about things from time to time. But let us realize that anxiety is absolutely futile. We can't change the circumstances by being anxious about them. Another translation of this verse says something like this. Can you, by anxious thought, add to your age? Now, you've heard about people worrying themselves to death. You've never heard of anyone staving off the day of death by worrying about it. And so the Lord says, anxiety is futile. You cannot, by anxious thought, add to your stature. You cannot, by anxious thought, add to your age. Now, he says in verse 27, consider the lilies. He's shifting the emphasis from food to clothing. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Look at them. Lilies in the valley, the Bible would speak of them that time. Away down there, and yet so beautiful. A masterpiece of beauty from the hand of the Creator. Look at them. Elsewhere the Bible speaks of them as lilies among thorns. What an environment to be in. And yet, they're exquisite. God has clothed them. My brother, my sister, do you think that God is going to be negligent with you, having taken so much care to feed ravens and clothe lilies? And so it's wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus here in his teaching is showing that if God clothes grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And now we come to another point. Anxiety exhibits a lack of faith. Now, we've been hearing about faith today. And the moment you came to the Lord Jesus, you put faith in him for the big thing, the salvation of your soul. Your trust was in the sinner, the Savior of sinners. Now, you've trusted him for the big thing. Why is it that we cannot trust him as we move through the circumstances of life? How often he would have to say to us, O ye of little faith. Our dear brother, Mr. Baker, was preaching to us last week about the storm. And again in the storm, the Lord Jesus had to charge the disciples, O ye of little faith. And brethren and sisters, sometimes we are in the storms of life. It is important that we understand his hand is on the tiller. Do you remember that word to Rehoboam? This thing is from me. And there are circumstances in life that we cannot quite understand. And yet we've just got to bow to the will of God. I sometimes think about John the Baptist in this connection. In Luke chapter 7, there are three young men. At the beginning of the chapter, there's the centurion's servant. I know he's a young man because one of the words that's used for servant means a boy servant. So he's a young fellow. And yet, he's at the point of death. Death isn't the monopoly of old people. He's at the point of death. And the Lord Jesus intervenes. Here's another young man, and he has died. And they're carrying him to the burial. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the Lord Jesus intervenes. And Luke tells us that they came and told John the Baptist about these things, about these events that had just transpired. And I can imagine the Baptist's face lighting up. Two young men, and Christ has intervened in their interest. I'm a young man, he would have been saying. Only about 30, maybe, that's all he was. Only about 30. And he's thinking now, the Lord will intervene in my interest too. And he's expecting the knock at the door and the key to turn in the lock and the jailer to say, you're free to go, John. The knock came to the door. And there's a man standing there with an axe and a mask. And John was martyred. He might have asked, why me? If the Lord intervened in the interests of these other two young men, why me? My dear brother and sister, there are circumstances in life that we cannot fathom. And we know that God has the ability to move and to meet the need. And sometimes he doesn't. And we have to bow to the sovereign ways of God with us. His hand is on the tiller. It was the Lord who said, let us go on to the other side. And he knew that the storm would intervene, and he took them into the storm. And in the midst of the storm, he had to charge them with this, O ye of little faith. My brother, my sister, may God help us all today when tempted to be anxious about the circumstances that swirl around our little lives, just to slip our hand into the hand of the Almighty and to have faith in God. That's what the Lord Jesus advised in the passage that our brother read to us. Have faith in God. Never let us be charged with this, O ye of little faith. So the Lord Jesus says, he'll clothe you, O ye little faith. And so he says, seek not that which you'll eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Oh, that's what they're preoccupied with. Again, our brother Mr. Penfold, last weekend, he really challenged us about this. The way people are running after the material things of life, the Gentiles. My dear brother and sister, I beg of you, don't become like them that go down to the pit. As far as being taken up with the material things of life is concerned, the Lord Jesus is going to show here, you really have got to seek the kingdom of God. I ask you today, where do your priorities lie in life? Are you materialistic? Or does your interest surround the assembly, the things of God, the work of the gospel, the study of the scriptures, time in prayer? Where do your priorities lie? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? I was saying to the folks here a week or two ago, membership of a local assembly is not like the membership of a club. You know, membership of a club, well, you could take a night off if you don't want to go. You know, it's a hobby, really. A hobby. Being a member of a New Testament assembly is not a hobby. It is a commitment. And our dear brother, Jonathan, a day or two ago, was urging us to see ourselves as indispensable to the life of the assembly, just as every part of our body is required to function properly, so you need to function. Tell me, would God be having to say to somebody here today, neglect not the gift that is in thee? Or, stir up the gift of God that is within you. You've gone on strike. You occupy a seat. You come, you go. Maybe sometimes you don't even come. And you're on the periphery. Oh, my beloved, I beg of you earnestly in God's name today. The Lord is saying here, seek first the kingdom of God. Let the things of God be paramount in your life and not just a side issue. And so our Lord Jesus is teaching us here the importance of just pushing these material issues to the side, but rather to seek first the kingdom of God. And then he adds this, fear not, little flock. Oh, he's shown that you are a subject of a kingdom. And now he's showing that you are a sheep in a flock. And then he'll show that you are a child in a family. It is the Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Isn't it good that he says here, fear not? Maybe someone in the meeting today and you're facing surgery. And the Lord is saying, fear not. Could be that there's someone in the meeting today and you're anxious about a wayward family. And the Lord is saying, fear not. Could be that there's someone in the conference meeting this weekend and unemployment is a reality. And the Lord is saying, fear not. There are huge issues in life that would alarm us. But the Lord is saying, fear not, little flock. it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I tell you, we're not going to be here too long. It won't be long before all these anxieties are history. And we'll be enjoying the blessedness of the kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful that we're going to be associated with him in his kingdom? I spoke to you a little about the rapture yesterday. But my beloved, that's just the thing that will trigger a whole series of events that will see us ultimately appearing with him in glory, coming to be glorified in his saints he will be, and to be admired in all them that believe. And it won't be long. And this veil of tears will seem just an unpleasant dream as we move into the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, I think we're still on schedule if I sit down now, so we'll leave it at that, and we look to the Lord to bless his word to us.